Well, I'd like to open the book up today in 1 Timothy, and we're going to be looking at 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, and verses 6 to 12. Verses 6 to 12 of 1 Timothy 6. And we're calling this, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." But godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul writes this letter to this young man who's called to be a pastor, anointed by the Spirit. And he has a heavy burden laid upon him for one so young at the church at Ephesus. And the apostle challenges him and helps him that he's to deal with false teachers and those coming into the church, bringing in wrong teaching, those who are greedy, have alternative motives, who give the appearance of preaching faith and godliness and love, but actually they're not. And because he's young, the apostle takes this up in which to help him. And it's interesting that Timothy's name in the Greek means honor to God or honoring God. And history has it that this letter was probably given to him by his mother, Eunice. So all of that gives us an insight to why the apostle's writing this and what we can glean from this today. And as I, of course, studied this, I realised very little's changed. Still have it today. See, the enemy's tactics do not change. But you know, I was thinking, the wonderful thing is that with us who walk with Christ, we are being changed from glory into glory. Look at the vast difference. And because he's doing that, we should be content with what God is doing through us, because it's great gain to us. And we'll look at some of these things as we go on. But let's take it up now in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 12. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having found, and having food and clothing with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, of for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and perceived themselves through with many sorrows." Sorry, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called, and confess the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Praise God. So here we have a list of what the apostle is encouraging this young man in his preaching and teaching. And he's going to the root of some of the problems. And as you read this, you can see that some of the problems is about greed. wanting more. They're not content. And there are a lot of Christians in churches who really aren't very content. They're failing to see what God is doing and the word that he gives and so on. And we too must watch this, even in FGA. And so we have this list as he leads us up to this. Now, the emphasis is to be godly, but not all are content. And that's the problem. We preach the deeper life over the years, for many, many years. Many have embraced it and praised God for it. But there's an area within them that is not content. There's got to be more. I want more. And indeed, there's nothing wrong in pressing in and going deeper with God. But what this is, it's in the flesh. It's what I want. And you see, unless the cross is central in our lives, we will always minister to ourselves, to our flesh, what I want. And therefore, it then creates this striving, this restlessness. There are so many Christians who are restless, that go from one church to another, to one meeting to another, never settling anywhere. And they don't really want to. And the apostle is dealing with all these problems. You see, nothing changes, as we're seeing. And we see how the apostle Paul dealt with this. For example, let's turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. 11 to 13. And Jesus, who is called Justice, there are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. I love that. That is such a powerful verse on how we too can pray. For I bear him witness that he was great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphos, and the church that is in his house. So we see that there are these labourers. Not a lot, but they are fervent. They are committed. They are of the Spirit. They're not trying to make merchandise of the gospel. They're not in it for greed or what they can get out of it. And this is a huge problem today that we have in a lot of Christendom, and many who stand behind pulpits. As I've said so many times, many who stand behind pulpits, they don't walk by faith, trusting in the promises of God at all. Why is it that people can't see it? Because they too don't want to walk by faith. They want to know that they're saved and that's it. But they forget that you have a walk of overcoming, of trial and testing, for the very reason, because God is going to see what is in the heart. And so here again, we see this, and also I'm reminded in Hebrews 13, Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And there we are. That is a mode of how we walk. The Lord is my helper. There is no fear. What can man do to me? Nothing. Can't take my soul. You see, God has to get us to that place as Christians. And he's working that because that is the sort of thing that makes us committed. This is what enables us to be content and to have that great gain. What is this great gain? Well, it's the rewards that will be found with us in heaven. You see, we live in an age where we see access of so many things. We see so much lust and greed. And sadly, it goes on in the house of God. I only saw a video today where I write every day on a platform. And some young guy who's supposed to be quite spiritual and looked up to was praising God for the worship. And truly, if you didn't listen to the words, you would have thought it was a nightclub or they were having a party. They're all gyrating on the floor and it was just appalling. And I thought, you know, this is how far we are falling. Nothing godly about it or holy. And yet they think it's wonderful. They think that is worship to God. Look how far the church has apostatized in its discernment, its understanding of godliness. It's all because of lust and greed and all these things that go on now in the world. Even those who you need to be careful with the abundant life from prosperity teaching. A lot of that has gone terribly wrong as well. You see, I'm all for you prospering, but make sure that it's godliness with contentment, because that is your great gain. Your prosperity is blessing. And where you prosper, you bless others with it. Else it's like the manna that Israel had. It turns sour. It goes off otherwise. I'm reminded of Abraham. We'll look at this. Abraham, Genesis 12, where he's called out from the Lord, he and his family, and they've come away. And then when he's come away, then the Lord appears to him. Lord doesn't appear to him while he's still in the country. He has to come away. He has to take a move of faith. And that is how the principle of God always works. Verse 7 of Genesis 12. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. I love that. He doesn't try and converse with God. He doesn't try to say, well, what do you mean by this? You're going to give a land. He doesn't let his mind get in the way. He hears what God has promised. And the next thing you know, he builds an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountains east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still towards south. So we see he's pitched his tent the east of Bethel and on the west Ai. So between where he's called out the promised land and I, which represents the world. Bethel is worship, the house of God. And that's where he pitches his tent. And he's got it right. He worships God. Why was he able to do that? Because he had contentment, godliness in his life. This is why I'm always saying, when we come to these meetings and online, you get in prayer. And one of the things you pray, Lord, that I come before you with clean hands and a pure heart that is acceptable to you today. The Lord doesn't receive it otherwise. That is why we worship God in spirit and in truth. You see, the word truth is often left out. That word truth means you come where your heart is rendered. It is searched, that you come with the right motive before God. But too often we have Christians today are more interested in themselves and what they are going to get out of it. So what are the results then of godliness and contentment? We've already looked at it. We've seen where it's listed from 6 to 12. Well, one of the first things to think about is you're not striving to be something. Many Christians today are striving to be something before God. God has never called you to strive. He has called you to be before him. And it's what he makes us in Jesus Christ. If you are striving in your walk, then something is going very wrong. We're never called to strive. We're never called to try and build our own ministry, which I see so often that goes on. These men trying to build their ministry, worldwide ministries and everything, so much of it is that the flesh, it's strife. And when you listen to a lot what they say, very little is actually coming out. And there are a remnant. There are those who are truly called of God, who don't get caught up in any of this stuff, who are faithful to their calling. And they're not into numbers, which so many are. And to get numbers, you have to strive and work at that. And there is the difference. So that is a first area in which to think upon, which of course the apostle was warning this young pastor. Another area, you are not to be striving for wealth and money. God has never called you to strive for that, to work at that. He's called you to believe. And how do you get that? Matthew 6:33. Put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Ministry, Christians who are striving, trying to raise money, and all this stuff that goes on today, they know little about walking by faith. This is why I say so often, the most busiest Christians are the least spiritual in the house of God. You try and get them to a prayer meeting. You try and get them really into the Word, into their closet. They haven't got time for it. They're too busy telling you that they're working for God. There are some Christians who like to really put other Christians into condemnation and telling them what they should be doing each day, how they should be going out and proclaiming the gospel. And you wonder what their lives are like. No, we have the Holy Spirit who has come. He said he will lead and guide us into all truth. There is no striving with him. Because what God wants and requires of us is done for his glory and is done out of a right heart and motive. That's why. And the third thing, as to the results of godliness and contentment, you are not striving, lusting, or coveting. We live in an age of greed. Greed is epidemic. Everyone wants more and more. Everyone wants the best. Everyone is coveting things which probably they never will be able to have, but they still covet. Again, so much of this found in the house of God, and the apostle again is warning this young man. You've got people coming in. They're lusting, they're coveting. They're not seeking the things of the kingdom. They're seeking what they want. Can you not see, brothers and sisters, why God has kept the cross central in our life and walk that you are to take up daily and follow? More and more, can we not see how this protects us from these things that we are vulnerable to? Or we may not be aware we're involved in until God has to open our eyes. The cross will always deal with it. And it has to be central, particularly today, in teaching. And the fourth area, godliness with contentment, great gain. It's content with Christ in your life and the Holy Spirit comforting, leading and directing and correcting us as well. That's where your contentment comes. What more can we want in this life than the fullness of Christ himself living in and through us? You think about it, of his fullness we have received. And that should be a comfort in itself, that we have been baptized in the Spirit, that we have his nature recreated in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so I have to raise that question to those who are not content, those who are striving, those who cannot settle anywhere, who have the appearance of godliness but are not. You have to raise the question, is Christ really in their life? You see, the problem we have today, and there's nothing new about it, man is fundamentally religious. And many are just emotionally, intellectually moved. But they do not have the light of the Spirit in John 6 that it speaks about. That light that lights up the word. That word that is sown as seed into the heart. Many do not really experience that. And so many are simply intellectually, emotionally moved. And it's not until the great trials and testings that come along reveal where the heart really is. And that's why we count it all joy when we go through various trials and testings, because it reveals where the heart is. Some of you know I've been going through a testing myself. I needed antibiotics in the natural. I needed to see a doctor. But I decided to settle it with God. And I said, it is in your hands. You will lead me, you will guide me. I know what the word says. I confess the word of God. I stand on the promises of God. By your stripes I was healed at Calvary. And yes, I've sorely been tried and tested. But the Lord is bringing me through. In the natural, I shouldn't be preaching tonight or Sunday, but I know where God has called me. I know where he's placed me, and either we act and live our faith or we don't. Do I feel like it? No. But what is feelings to do with faith? Either faith is present or it's not. You see, I've learned that you don't mess about with this. If faith isn't present, then you go to the arm of the flesh. You go to the next best thing, because you don't mess about with your health. But if you know in your heart, you have the word, you have the peace of God, it's like an anchoring, it's like something is bringing you through, a power, then you can move forward and take each day by faith until Christ raises you up. Praise God. We go through much trial and tribulation of which to make it into the kingdom of God. And fifthly, godliness with contentment is great gain. Knowing God will provide, giving room for time with him. The same as we saw Abraham came out of his country with all his family. And God spoke to him and he had time for God. He built an altar. And that is what we do. Our life, our worship to him is an altar God is building through you and I. Why is he building that altar? Because sometimes that altar has to receive fire from above. And you are that altar. You are that offering. You are what it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so we know that God will provide. He'll give that time for him, for worship, for praise. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. That is the supernatural side of God, that you can have that wonderful quality time in his presence, worshipping him, spending that quality time before him. That must come first before anything else in your walk, Christian. If you don't put that first, things do not work out right. God will not take second best. And godliness with contentment is great gain. We're able to rejoice with others who are blessed and not feeling jealous or threatened or left out. We can rejoice when we see God blessing a saint for their labor, for their belief, or their stand of faith, or enduring in faith. We can praise and worship the Lord with them as well. Why? Because it's a comfort to those going through the trials. We should encourage, we should be a comfort to our brothers and sisters who go through trials and tribulations. Our prayers, our intercessions are just making sure that things are fine and so on. That is what it's all about. And if you follow godliness with contentment, which is great gain, you will instinctively do these things and not have to be told to do it, because you're hearing what God is saying. You're picking up your Father's heart. There are many, many needs, and God wants us to be sensitive and open, but to be led by the Spirit in which we do, to walk like Jesus did. The needs that Jesus met each day were phenomenal in his walk, but he knew what his Father was saying and the leading of what his Father was saying. And that is what we have to come to. We cannot be led by our emotions. We have to be led by faith and the will of God. And you get that, and you will experience godliness with contentment, which is great joy.